fried egg requires a different technique. What you need to do is actually square the face so it'll dig down underneath that bad lie and propel that ball right out onto the green.
Here's the thing, playing out of a buried lie in a bunker is completely different than playing out of a nice, clean lie in a greenside bunker.
You need to be aggressive on any shot, whether it's sitting cleanly or it's a fried egg.
Well, we've all faced it, the dreaded fried egg. It's not to be feared, though. It's actually a pretty easy shot to hit.
All right, welcome to Explorations, part two. We had a great day yesterday. First day in Northern Ireland, full day, big swing, Royal County Down. We were staying in Newcastle County Down and enjoying the town, but played their world-class golf course. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that. Royal County Down, I will just say off the top here, it's like honestly one of the most stunning, and you feel like you depart to a different world when you play there. Like you walk out there and it is out of this world. The dunes, as an American who hasn't played golf in Ireland, the dunes are just like epic. They're a different scale and size than Scotland. That's noticeable right from the start. But I think that those dunes obscure, in a way obscure, because they just like take so much of the attention away from the really great golf that's in the ground besides those big dunes. Matt, last time we talked, you were excited. First Lynx experience. How has been the intro to Lynx golf? What have been some of your revelations and takeaways?
Well, just to start, it was completely surreal on the front nine at Royal County Down. It just felt like one, two, three holes in, I couldn't really believe on the ground that I was walking. The dunes are just absolutely magnificent, perfectly sized for golf. And at Royal County Down, the outsides of the golf holes are kind of these massive flowing dunes. And then where you're playing golf on the fairways, it's kind of smaller, more undulating contours that are pretty perfect for golf. And just the turf married to like the ground contours is absolutely amazing to play golf. And it just doesn't even compare to any type of American golf that I've ever played.
Yeah, I mean, you worked at Ballyneal, which is often considered the closest thing you can get in America to Lynx golf. Like, how does the turf and ground interaction compare to Ballyneal?
I think the turf itself is pretty similar. There's definitely some similarities, but at Ballyneal, you know, you have bent grass greens, and out here everything is fescue. The entire playing surface of short grass is fescue through the green. And that really does make a difference when you're putting or chipping from around the greens. There's not really a difference in speed of the grass. So definitely the turf plays similar, but it's not quite the same. And then just being, you know, so close to the ocean and the water kind of makes a big influence on the wind, and just the elements of playing seaside golf is just so much different than America.
We had a very tough wind yesterday. I gotta say, it was just humming straight off the sea. We basically played in a crosswind all day. It was, if you were golfing your ball, you were in big trouble. And I don't think any of us were really golfing our ball yesterday.
That's probably the status quo, right? That wind, that's typically how you...
No, our caddy was saying that usually it's either down or in. Okay. And it rarely comes off the ocean, which made it, I mean, I think we got the full experience. And to Matt's point about those small contours, they're incredible because of the interaction with the wind. I think that really amplifies those small contours in the ground, because you can hit, you know, I hit a great drive on 8 in the second round, and I ended up on this little knob upslope. And I had like, I only had 110 yards in, but I was like standing over the shot, and I had the club. And the worst thing that can happen out there is when you're standing over a shot and you're like, I have the wrong club before you hit the shot. And I thought that, and I'm at that point, it was like hole 20, 26. I'm like, I'm not going to go to the bag and and clubbed down to like, I should have hit like an 8-iron and chipped it, but I hit a wedge. It just shoots up into the wind. And next thing I know, it is like my wedge that looks pretty good is 20 yards right at the green. So I think like those contours, and you get those like subtle downslopes that when you have the wind blowing 20 miles an hour, you're not quite sure how the ball, whether the ball, say it's downwind, whether the ball is going to get knocked down or it's going to carry. And when you're coming off the downslope, it's even just going to amplify that a little bit more. And it's just those little different lies with a big wind and then fast turf. All those add together to create just like a very difficult approach to the green. And Cameron, you had some thoughts on the greens themselves. What do you think about the greens at Royal County Down and how they interact with everything else?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we talked about a lot yesterday. There's not a ton of internal contour in the greens, but they sit at sort of particular angles, maybe with like a little bit of pitch one direction. And you realize with the wind and with your ball position, like it's so important to get into the correct places in order to like maximize basically the width of the green in your approach, like 10 yards one direction, especially with a cross breeze, and it becomes almost impossible to like hold a green. And if you can get maybe 10 yards the other direction and with the wind, all of a sudden those gentle slopes in the green are helping you to maybe hold an approach and get it closer to the hole. So once you're on the green, there's, you know, a little less interest than I think a lot of the famous links out there, but it clearly just, it promotes like being able to get your ball into the correct positions off the tee.
Was there a hole that you particularly liked that angular interaction with the fairway?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hole that doesn't get talked about, but I think I noticed it when we got to 15, like, essentially, I mean, it's a fairly wide, it's like two fairways left and right, and we were playing in the forward tees.
That's an amazing landform.
Yeah.
Like that hole sits on just an unbelievable landform.
I don't think I'd ever seen a picture of it. I mean, I watched the Irish, and I don't remember the hole really, but it's got basically like two canyons left and right, and the left fairway runs out, but you want to be up the left because the green has sort of a subtle right to left pitch, and then the green's longer that direction, whereas from the right side, you're sort of hitting across that slope, and then you've got a runoff short right, and then over the green, and you're also, like, it's a shorter distance from the front of the green that direction as well.
The other thing about it is when you're on the right side, the pitch of the fairway is left to right, which promotes that short right miss.
Yeah.
Which is the worst play. Like that, I had a miss to the right and it just shoots it right.
Or if you overemphasize it, then you hit the pole and you're just going over the green into the collection area in the back. So yeah, that one really stood out to me.
Brendan, what were your big takeaways from Royal County Down?
Many takeaways. The greens, which Cameron talked about. The obvious, like, if you're an American, you're coming over there. It's obviously the massive dunescapes. I've played Scotland, like you said. And you're almost like, if you come out here, you might not initially, in your some rudimentary mind, like, this isn't land for golf, maybe, because they're so extreme. But there are obviously those spots where you can, and it's expertly routed through these massive dunescapes and now blooming gorse. But the main, a major one for me, and it hit me about the sixth, seventh hole, is sort of the restraint with bunkers. I've played some links golf. And this is not to denigrate that. It's just different. One's not better than the other. But I feel like you walk away from the round like, man, it feels like I spent 50% of my time just trying to get up and out of pots or just taking that one stroke penalty in the fairway and hitting out sideways or whatever it is. And I was sort of blown away by like the sixth or seventh hole. I haven't, like, maybe it was because I was hitting the ball hither and yon and not bringing them into play, but there's an amazing restraint with bunkers, that the land and the wind that we talked about really do enough to challenge and test you. And it's not that it's just not dotted aside from the 18th tee, which like just kind of put me on my back foot, to use an Irishman's quote. The 18th tee, like that's where you see it's like boom, 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 all the way up the right and left. It's not dotted with these pot bunkers or bunkers at all. And I don't think I hit out of a bunker. We played 27 holes and I don't think I hit out of a bunker. And I felt obviously incredibly challenged. And I just the restraint to do that in this kind of setting in UK, GB and I golf, it was fascinating to me and really blew me away. And I think I hit one green in regulation on par three. So I was rolling off, I don't think I hit out of a bunker the entire day. And that like incredible restraint. And then the dichotomy with the 18th tee, like it emphasized it even more, certainly throughout that front nine and the beginning of that back nine. It's incredible to see that restraint and the course really still obviously be able to punch you in the face.
Yeah, that the golf course in general feels like you're just constantly playing against the natural elements. And I think the greens being so, I mean, so many of the greens, you feel like they're just sitting on the ground. Like you came across it and they just are sitting right there. And the entire, I would say, really until you get to the maybe 16th hole, you feel like that golf course is just you against what was there in the ground. And I think that's just a really neat, authentic experience for Royal County Down, because I mean, those first 13 holes are, I can't think of, and I don't think there is a better succession or even a better 13 holes in any order at any golf course in the world.
Yeah, I feel like one thing that became quite apparent was how well the land just allows you to play golf across it. Like Brennan said, there's not so many bunkers, but when you're out of position, you could be extremely blind, have no idea where you're going, and that's the penalty for hitting a poor shot. It's not getting stuck in a bunker and having to just chop it out. You're just completely blind in an uneven lie, stuck in some thicker rough, and you're out of position where you don't have an angle to even get anywhere close to the green, really. I hit a shot yesterday on 9 where I was too far right and I was partially blind and in the rough, and I hit a great shot right out at the flag, but the ball had no spin on it. It landed probably 10 yards short of the green and then just rocketed over the green. And then I have an extremely difficult recovery shot from behind the green. So it's really awesome how the landforms really dictate how you're playing, less so than a myriad of bunkers challenging you out there.
I think one is the par three, like the 7th hole, right? It's a short one. When you see like a postage stamp type par three in the UK, usually it's going to be a small green with bunkers all around it. That has a bunker in front, but right, the primary challenge is it's sort of perched up, the wind, it's obviously a precise shot, small green, but if you miss it, you're probably going into a back runoff. Probably, I guess you could maybe leave it short, it gets knocked down or something, but I don't know, that's just an example. There are bunkers out there. I don't want to say like they don't have beautiful and dangerous, menacing bunkers, but.
I love the way their bunkers are too. They're just like are kind of more like holes in the ground than.
They're not revetted.
No.
There's nothing wrong with those, and I understand like the functionality of a revetted bunker, but I mean, these are like, they're hairy, they're like furry edged, and yeah, they're just sort of dug out.
Yeah, and where the wind erodes, it just gets eroded, and that's fine. It doesn't have to be a neat edge. I thought, you know, one thing that I found refreshing as an American was this winter they're doing a big irrigation budget, and that wasn't an excuse to make the golf course look new. So, you know, it still has its like wonderful old patina, and the turf has that, you know, that color of it's been here for a long time. What were you guys' favorite holes out there? Maybe one favorite hole each. And I think I didn't say this at the top, but the architect for Royal County Down, it was old Tom Morris originally laid out the golf course. A little history lesson that we learned from our caddy was the first and 18 holes was kind of over past the clubhouse where it currently sits. And they were effectively like right next to the train station. And the train station that went to Belfast was used as the clubhouse effectively in the early days. And it was like, you take the train down, you play, you know, the golf course, and the 18th finishes right next to the train station. So the old Thomas Morris holes, for the most part, are gone, except for the 10th hole is believed to be the only remaining old Tom Morris hole. And Harry Colt came in and put together what is, for the most part, today's golf course, with a few adaptations and changes over the years.
A few, some modern, few, just a couple, nips and tucks. And they had a big governor of the greens, a guy, George Coombe, I read too, who's like a main... who was, I guess, sort of a dictator between, like, the old Tom and, like, Colt. That also helped sort of shape the what the current layout is. But favorite holes, what do you guys got, Cameron?
Well, I think I know what Andy might say, so I'll pick a different...
You can pick that one. I mean, I can pick any number of them.
Picking your favorite kid. There are a lot of options.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a lot of people don't love blind shots. I love blind shots, and there's a lot of them at RCD. I think 6 is a really fun hole because you probably want to hit less than driver. You're completely blind. You have to know the line, but you really want to find like sort of the left center of the fairway, sort of on this knob, in order to like have the best access to this tiny green that sort of sits at an angle with a steep fall off left. And you're only hitting probably a wedge in, but it's exponentially more difficult if you miss in the wrong spot. But off the tee, you just, especially the first time around, we had a four caddy, but you still just have no idea where you're going. I love a number of holes out there, but that one sticks out.
What's neat about that fairway, too, is how there's a knob in the middle of it, a small contour. And that knob, if you hit on the right side of it, it pushes you into the bad spot.
Right,
if you hit it on the left side of it, it pushes you right into the spot you want.
Yeah.
And then the first round we played, I hit it up the left side, and I'm basically 3 yards off the ideal line, and I'm completely blind.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I was 3 yards to the right, I'm absolutely perfect. But now I can't see my target, and it's just like... the wind's humming, I can't see where I'm going, and I'm not quite sure exactly what the line is. But
yeah.
I think those little moments of doubt just make shots so hard.
There's a lot of fine lines out there where, yeah, you miss a shot 4 or 5 yards left and you've got a crosswind, but that makes a difference between having the perfect line and being completely blind sometimes into the green.
Matt, what was your favorite hole?
I think it's key to note here that I think the first 9 holes on this golf course are all world class, and you could pick any single one of them as your favorite. 7 comes to mind immediately as one that I love so much. But on the back 9, trying to pick one out that really stands out, I would probably say 13 is one of the coolest golf holes on the back 9.
What would you name it?
I said this when we were walking up it. I wanted to call it Gorse Valley, because you're playing through this very wide valley and there's gorse lining both sides of the valley. And it's significantly different than the rest of the golf course. It just feels kind of slightly different because this valley's so wide and it makes you kind of feel so small as you're walking up it. But the entire right side of this valley is this big kind of rolling hill, and the fairway just kind of gently curves around it. And the whole fairway slopes right to left. The entire slope of this interior valley is right to left. So your drive's kind of going out to the left. And then if you don't get far enough left, you're going to be partially blind by the big hill guarding the entire right side. And then the green itself is really cool. It's kind of got this valley down the middle resembling the valley that it sits in. And there's this big kicker slope of fairway grass all along the right side of it. So if you hit a shot way out to the right and let it feed in, you can really feed it down into the valley of the green and get the ball close. And it's just a magnificent area to walk down and play golf through.
Beautiful. And it's like it kind of transitions you. You talked about how it feels different. That's the hole that transitions you from the magnificent dunes to the next section of the golf course. Brendan, use that slope.
That's a, he took my favorite hole because I actually executed the shot and watched it and made my, you know, tidy little par. That 13 was amazing. 11 similar kind of use of like crazy landform, blind and then working its way through the dunes. I was going to say 13. I'll be a little cliche here. I'll go with 9. I'll throw 9 out. I think we need to talk about, at least mention 9. It's interesting. Cliches are often cliches because they state something true, right? And say 9 is a stunner. It's a world class. My favorite hole. You will hear that a lot from people who visit. There's a reason for it. Obviously, it is stunning to sort of the rudimentary mind. If you don't understand the architecture or the way the land's moving, that it's a blind tee shot. You walk up a crest and it's just this incredible valley of Harry Cole, allegedly, or no, not allegedly. He made par 3 and par 4 and combined 2 holes into 1. But it's not just that sort of stunning reveal as you walk up and you see from the blind shot. It's an insane piece of land. It's also that approach. It's this massive dune and hump just right of the green that you also need to clear. I think Matt and I, first time around, were hitting from the top of it or chopping from the top of it. Hitting is probably too inaccurate a term. There are right and left sides, right? It's not just blind. You should have a proper position from the fairway. If you hug the left, there's a lot of trouble there, but you maybe have more of a view into the green. You don't have to deal with that right dune. It is everything. It's an incredible way to finish probably the best 9-hole stretch in golf.
Yeah, the cool thing too, the fairway contours, just how it relates to everything. There are some like kind of rails that run through the fairway, and there are just these, it'd be just like if you sunk a rail in. And those rails, if you don't hit it up the left, they kind of run on a diagonal. They funnel balls right, which is, they funnel them to the blindness. The whole angle of the hole kind of pushes you right. You're terrified of the dunes left. Mm-hmm. I will say, I'd love to see that area down there. I think it probably was a little bit more mowed out than it is now. And a little bit more mowed out down there would yield even better golf, because the left side, which has some incredible contours, is rough, which should, you know, if you take on those dunes up the left and clear them, you should get that reward, I feel like. And I could be wrong, but, you know, and then if you push the fairway a little right, it's just going to continue to push balls further right and further blind. The rough almost stops balls now.
Not to say you want to perform plastic surgery or whatever on a tenant, but was that one thing where you would maybe say push a few mowing lines? I think you'd say that about every course in the world.
I think I'm probably like a broken record, right. But yeah, I think there's a few mowing lines here and there.
Favorite hole?
My favorite hole, I loved 6. There's so many holes on the golf course to love. I will go with the 3rd hole. It is a brute of a par 4. I mean, it is a beast. You're teeing off high on a ridge and then it's completely blind you can see there actually.
If you're in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, if you're in the middle of the fairway.
That's the point.
I was blind both times.
What's cool about the hole and just the first 3 holes is there are these kind of smaller features that cut across the fairway. The first hole, they come in right in the landing area if you're going for the green in 2. And it's just these choppy mounds that break it up and create like kind of a area that kicks it further right and an area that funnels it to the green. On the second hole, it's a big bunker that's kind of just like, it's a cross hazard. It prohibits you. There's a mound also, but the cross hazard can kind of throttle you back depending on the wind and how that is. And it kind of makes the hole it prohibits you from going too far. On the third, it's these like irregular mounds that kind of cut across on a diagonal. And it's just a neat feature that make you think. It like adds a little trepidation when you're on the tee. And what the line, the best line's right up the middle. You know, on either side, you get blind. The left side kind of feels like the place to bail out. And then from over there, you're in a very bad spot. You can't see anything. And the fairway, you know, the contours around the green are really neat. And it's a massive hole. There's a big dune in the background and everything. I think like with the way the first three holes work, I just love how you have like fall offs on different sides. Like, you know, one left is dead, two right is dead around the green, and then three left is dead. Like they alternate, and there's just a great cadence to that.
Yep. Another thought to choose from. I think one thing we should add is that unlike many courses you walk off and you say, I think that might be the best golf course in the world, you can access this if you're planned and committed enough, if you're an American, right? And they seem, you know, they're open and hospitable to taking that. It's not unlike, you know, some in America, you know, Augusta National, Cypress Point, whatever national, like they are open if you plan enough in advance and committed to doing it. And the town, it seems quite programmed and ready for that kind of influx of potential visitors. So you can play it out there.
Burnell's, good food.
Burnell's, yeah.
Good restaurant.
They picked us out. You know, these North Americans are here. Look at these guys. Right away. We didn't even open our mouths yet. So, but they'll have you. They'll have you, unlike many of the best courses in the world, quote unquote.
Yeah, awesome place. We'll talk more in depth and detail about the golf course, but this is supposed to be a little palate cleanser.
First impression.
Appetizer.
First
impression.
Yep.
So, all right, thank you guys for tuning into this. We'll be back. We'll be talking to Ardglass, I think, next. So we're heading out there this morning. It is, the sea is angry. It's going to be a windy day. Hopefully we'll get a little light for the camera. And yeah, we'll see you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And thanks for tuning into Explorations.